Bethel World Outreach Church, reaching a city to touch the world.
You like that thought? Why don't you go ahead and sit down? Thank you so much. I'm going to get into the word a little bit, and we're going to look at that thought. We're going to look at the book of Isaiah. So if you've got your Bible or if you want to watch on the screen as well. We want to welcome everybody that's watching online as well. My name is Philip Steele. I'm one of the pastors here. It's a joy to be with y'all. So we're going to read out of Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah, you know, he's kind of called the theologian of the Old Testament. If you really get into what he's got to say, he's got a message about even the wickedness of mankind and the greatness of God. And there's more prophecies about Jesus except in the Psalms than any other book in the Old Testament. So we've got a good, rich base there. But let's look at Isaiah 6. If we can pull that up on the screen, that'd be great. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. We'll get back to King Uzziah. I want to talk about that a little bit. But let's just read through it, and then we'll pick out some key words. I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And they would just call this back and forth. "The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts," the Lord of the armies, really. We say hosts all the time, and I think of, well, my wife is a real good host, you know. But when the Bible talks about host, it's talking about a commander-in-chief of a very great army. One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for me?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." So we're going to get into this here a little bit. We're going to look at the context, and we're going to pull out a few of the key words, words like holy, like holiness, and we're going to look at the word glory. We're going to look at the word sin, sinfulness, and forgiveness, and usefulness. Everything is with a nest, and except for the glory. I couldn't get that one, gloriness. You know, it's just glory. But let's get in. Let's look at the context a little bit here, because it said, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, that's important, because Uzziah was a pretty good king, except for up towards the end, he kind of got out of his role. Instead of trying to be king, he tried to be the priest, and he went in and offered up some sacrifices and took on a role he shouldn't have taken on, kind of a little rebellious there, ended up with leprosy. But the dude was king for like 50 years. Now, I know we're getting in on Friday. There's going to be a transition of government, the inauguration, everything like that. I might be dating myself here, but I can remember when the headline was Nixon resigns, president resigns. And then you go through all the other, you know, all the other presidents in our lifetime. We've seen, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 different presidents. This was like some people, even in their 50s, they had just seen one president, one king. And so there's going to be a transition. There's even going to be, you know, we're talking about the year 740 before Christ, you know. So, you know, Isaiah starting his ministry, and he prophesied for a good season. A lot of the prophecies about Jesus that Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus even appears. So he's definitely got something there. It was a time of national crisis, because after that, the kings coming after that, they really didn't do so well. So now, whether you think this is going to be a national crisis on Friday, I know some people are happy because their candidate won. Some people are really sad. They don't know what's going to happen because their candidate lost, and we just kind of, all I want to do, I'm hoping that we can see the king high and lifted up. That's what I'm hoping, that we can see Jesus even beyond whatever national crisis or, you know, whatever we might be going through. Even Pastor Donnie talked about, you know, people going in a transition and crisis and difficulty. This was a national crisis. And I do think that if we can keep our eyes on Jesus, when we see his holiness, we're going to say, "Woe is me." And when we see his forgiveness, we're going to say, "Lord, send me. Here I am." So I'm hoping, you know, more than being known as a great preacher, I want to preach a great Christ tonight. I want you to have an encounter with the holiness of God. I want you to have an encounter with the glory of God. I'm hoping just for a minute that the Lord would show us, even if he would show us just a little bit of our sinfulness so that we could appreciate his forgiveness. And then when we can see his forgiveness, I think we'll say, just like Isaiah said, we'll say, here I am, send me. When we talk about holiness, what are we talking about? We're talking about an absolute moral purity, separateness above creation. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that God is holy, holy, holy. And as I find this so interesting, R.C. Sproul, he's a theologian. He said something interesting. He said, the Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. The Bible never says God is love, 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 or mercy, 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 wrath, wrath, wrath. Some people would like to say he's justice, justice, justice. But what the Bible does say is that he is holy, 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 and the earth is filled with his glory. Now, in the Old Testament times, in that language, when they would say something twice, that's kind of emphasized. That's like big letters. Like when the Lord said, Moses, Moses. Or the Lord said, Martha, Martha. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? When you say it twice, that's kind of like underlining it. But when you say it three times, that's like big underlining it. And big bold, holy, holy, holy. I know that God is love. God is truth. And sometimes people want to pull out one of the characteristics of God more than others. And, you know, God is love, and that love means he'll tolerate everything. God understands me because God is love. I know God is love, but that's also balanced with his justice. But if we have to really emphasize any one of God's characteristics, I would propose that we emphasize the one that's repeated, holy, holy, holy. And then even in the book of Revelation, when John saw Jesus and he saw the visions of angels, it was the angels crying out, holy, holy, holy. Have you seen the holiness of God? Have you seen how he is pure, absolute purity, holiness, just a so otherliness from us that he is pure? That's the holiness of God. Another C.S. Lewis, another theologian, whatever you might want to call him, he said, how little people know who think that holiness is dull. It's just boring. It's just, I left the church because it was boring. I just, you know, they talk about this holiness. And, you know, and when we talk about holiness, if you really know what holiness is, you'll find, like what C.S. Lewis says, when one meets the real things, it is irresistible. Holiness. I was talking to a young lady just a few days ago, and she said she came from one of these churches, you know, Pentecostal, like Pentecostal holiness. And I know they've done, you know, great things and everything like that, but I had to kind of ask her, now, what kind of, you know, and it might be another kind of Pentecostal holiness. It might be from a Baptist church. Sometimes we have to define what holiness is not before we can really define what it is. So we're not talking about holiness like your outward appearance of what you're wearing. You know, I kind of had to look at this girl, and I had to say, you know, the old school, you couldn't go to church like that with those jeans on. Old school. You know, so there's some old, you know, we think that because of our outward appearance or our dress, that would make us holy. Holiness is not just rules and regulations where you have to do this and you can't do the other thing. I really think that holiness is born in the heart of somebody who's had an encounter with the holiness of God, with the separateness of God, with the otherworldliness, not worldly like, you know, worldly like not of God, but it's just that Jesus is, God is so far out of this world. He's so great. He's so pure. His truth is so true. His purity is so pure. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about holiness. Have you seen the holiness of God? Have you had an encounter? When I was growing up in Minnesota, oh yeah, I would go to church every day, every week, every Sunday I'd be in church. But Friday nights and Saturday nights, just rather not get into all the details. We're just, yeah, whatever, yeah, you want to, yeah, that's probably what I was doing. But I knew I was separated from God. And I knew that if I would have died in that spiritual condition, I knew that I was not ready to meet my Maker. I was not ready to have an encounter face to face with the holiness of God. And I think it's so important for us that we have that encounter with the holiness of God. And then later we can see the glory of God. The angels were singing, the seraphim were singing, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, as I looked at this week, I was just kind of wondering and thinking, this is one of those theological things that they call already, but not yet. Now, just hang on to me just a minute, because the angels were saying, now, come on, Robert, now, don't go to sleep on me now. The angels were saying, you're with me now. I know you're with me. Tú estás conmigo, ¿verdad? I keep you awake now. I'll speak Spanish to you a little bit. Because the angels say the whole earth is filled with his glory. Now, do we really see it all in the fullness of everything? It's like it is already, but it's not yet in the fullness of everything that we're going to see. You know, this already, but not yet. Like, I am already saved, but I am being saved. The kingdom of God is here in a measure, but not yet in its fullness. Okay, you following with me? I can remember one sister, God bless her. We were praying, and she says, Satan, I just cut your head off in the name. And I look at that and I think, now wait a minute. Now, if we could just cut the devil's head off like that, does that mean that he's just completely powerless? That's another one of these already but not yet. You know, the devil is defeated, and there will be a day when he will be completely thrown into the lake of fire, if you're following with me. When Jesus came the first time and he said, the kingdom of God is amongst you, that's an already but not yet in its fullness. When Jesus comes back again, we'll see the kingdom of God in its fullness. You know, this thing about the glory, the weight, the presence, the manifest presence. Is it here? Jesus, in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and the Word dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That was Jesus. We saw his glory. Those that saw Jesus when he was walking, they saw the glory of God in Jesus. That's one of these already but not yet. And then even John 17:22, it says, the glory that you have given me, this is Jesus' prayer, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one even as we are one. So we already have that glory, but not yet. Is your marriage completely full of the glory of God? Why am I looking at you guys? I gotta look at myself too. Yeah, we gotta look. Oh, you know, we do have a measure of the glory of God. We do have, but not quite yet. I think of Habakkuk 2:14, one of my favorite verses. I got a lot of favorite verses. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Do we see that? Does everybody know about that? No, not yet. That's one of those already, but now that's the glory of God that we will see. That's the weight of God. I think of the glory. I was talking to my dad earlier this afternoon. I grew up on a dairy farm in southern Minnesota. And one of the things of if I can use the phrase, the glory of the dairy farm, of my dad's farm and his dad, that at one time, you know, kind of the bragging rights, the glory is... That one time, I guess it was my grandfather, who I never met, he had a world record producing dairy cow. And so my dad, that's kind of his pride and glory. You know, if you look at maybe a woman, her pride and glory might be her kitchen and what she can, you know, our glory might be our children, you know, our glory. Or for the glory, now I'm going to be careful what I say here, but like for the glory of the office of the president, we could talk about the presidential palace, which in the United States we call that the White House. You know, just as the office, whoever is there, that's kind of the glory. You know, on Friday with the inauguration, they might try to show some of, you know, for the world, the whole world's going to be watching in a sense, you know, whether you like it or not, or your candidate won, or whether your candidate, there's a showcase moment, or there's different awards, the Grammys, those are moments of the glory, or a sports team with their glory. You know, the Titans did pretty well this year compared to last year and the year before. That's, you know, they're going into, you know, we could say into the glory, you know, who knows, that's the kind of the pride, the moment. You know, and we think about the glory of God. I think about the stars. Psalm 147, he determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. In October of last year, some of the NASA scientists and some of the ones that have all the telescopes and everything, they said that the number of galaxies is probably 10 times more than previously thought. Let me see if I can find it. I want to get the numbers right because it's just astronomical. It's just incredible, the numbers. They say, research estimates there are 2 trillion galaxies in the observable region of the cosmos. 2 trillion galaxies. Now, each galaxy, like our galaxy, Milky Way, has 100 billion stars. And I know some of us, I'm included, some of us, our brain is just going just fried, you know, just 100 billion. But then you think about it, God knows all of them by name. I have 3 children, 4 with my son-in-law. You know, sometimes I mess up their names just with 4, you know, Grace, Ruth, you know, get the dog's name in there too, you know. And God, you know, God knows all of them by name and remembers all their names. 200, how much was it? 2 trillion galaxies. And our galaxy has only 100 billion stars. The glory of God. And just as we go like that on a macro, on a galaxy level, you know, if you go into a micro level too. I've got a friend that's a pediatric surgeon, operates on babies in their mother's womb, just like weird Discovery Channel type stuff. He does it. And he did his doctorate degree in immunology and studying a cell. And he says a single cell can be as complicated as a major city with all the ports of entry and all the highways and, you know, the security that some things can go into the cell, other things can't go into the cell. So, you know, we talk about the macro, 100 billion galaxies, whatever it is, and on a micro, the glory. That's how big our God, that's how glorious our God is. And here Isaiah was seeing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of his glory. I think even if we could see nature, just as the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans, that the eternal nature of God has been revealed even in nature. So people are without excuse. So we see the holiness. We see the glory. And that if we can come back to where Isaiah said, he said, woe is me. I think if we really see the glory of God, the holiness of God, we have to come to the conclusion, if you've really seen it, the conclusion that you come to is, woe is me. You come to that place where you say, ay, ay, ay. Just like Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And then he said, I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. It wasn't just these guys here. They're just a bunch of dirty old sinners. But he knew he himself, his own sinfulness. You know, even as we, if you just go through the Ten Commandments real quick, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have you ever put anything ahead of the only true living God? Even a career, a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, even our children. Thou shalt not make for yourself an idol, a graven image. Don't use the name of the Lord your God in vain. How easy it is just to use the name of the Lord just in a light way. Remember the Sabbath day so you can honor it. 6 days, work hard, take a day of rest. Now, I'm not going to get legalistic on this. I know that Jesus, you know, he healed on the Sabbath and stuff like that, but I do think that there's something about just resting one day. Work hard and rest. Honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you. Are we honoring our parents? Now, I know there's parents of people here that have not treated them well, but even so, we're called to honor them. Thou shalt, what's number 6? Thou shalt not murder. But then Jesus said, if you're angry, if you don't forgive, if you have that bitterness, that anger on the inside of you, it's just as if you were killing them. Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, now you're stepping on toes. You're stepping on toes now. No, I really think that God wants us to have a good marriage. You know, God is not a what's the word? Mata fiestas. He's not a party killer. You know, he doesn't want, I lived in Costa Rica for 12 years. I'm originally from Minnesota. My wife's from Honduras. I used to just preach only in Spanish. My wife used to pray for me that, you know, my Spanish would come out well. And now I think she has to pray for me that my English will come back to me. If you're bilingual, you know what I mean. You get stuck sometimes in your mind and the words, I'm sorry, we'll try to get it. Es que la unción viene más fuerte cuando hablo en español, perdóname. I got a little love there too. Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then Jesus said, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. I think we can take that the other way as well. The women looking at all the pornography, God does not want to kill your happiness. He wants you to have the greatest marriage that you could possibly. He wants you to have the greatest sex life that you could possibly have. That's why he put boundaries on it, that you would stay inside marriage. And anytime we step out of those boundaries, premarital sex, maybe I can talk about this because that was like one of my major sins before I came to Christ. And so, you know, we'll talk about forgiveness. I'm not here to condemn anybody, but I do want you to see. I want you to see the holiness of God. I want you to see his glory. And as you see that glory, then you see your own sinfulness. And this is not something I'm here to condemn you, but I want you to point the way to Jesus. Number 8, thou shalt not steal, taking things that don't belong to you, whether it's time, whether it's possession, something that doesn't belong to you. Number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. So it's just a little white lie. Well, I thought the other one was an orange lie, and the other one was a green lie. Jesus is the truth. And number 10, thou shalt not covet things that belong to somebody else. Let's look what Augustine, one of the early church fathers, said. He said, sin comes when we take a perfectly natural desire, like sex is fine inside marriage. Even you know, last week we were doing prayer and fasting. It's a natural desire to want to eat. If you don't eat, you will die eventually. You need to eat. But I ask us, I include myself, after a time of fasting, a time of abstinence, of not eating, how many of us just like, well, you know, the fast is over, baby. We're just going to go for it now. And then all the weight that you thought you lost during the fast, you put on double again. You know, there are natural desires which are good, and God wants you to have those things, but he's set like a boundary about how you can satisfy those desires. Are you following with me? So if we can really see how a lot of times we reach out for something that it's a good desire, but you're trying to satisfy that desire in a way that God has not designated for you. Whether it's food, whether it's maybe it's attention, whether, you know, whatever it is, even the desire to be successful, to be taken to, can be taken to another extreme, and all of a sudden you've exchanged the glory of God for your own glory, for the glory of something here natural, something that's not God. Let me just read the rest of it. Sin comes when we take a perfectly natural desire, longing or ambition, good desires, and try desperately to fulfill it without God. All these good things and all our security are rightly found only and completely in Him. In Him. Now, I do hope that the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us. I include myself again and giving you a little nudging. You know, couples, you don't have to nudge your spouse. Just let the Holy Spirit do it, all right? Just Holy Spirit will do it. Just trust the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be doing like this, okay? Trust the Holy Spirit. He's going to show us our sinfulness, even just for a second, after we see His glory, after we see His holiness. I think of Peter. Peter went with Jesus. They went out fishing. There was a great miraculous catch of fish. And after Peter saw what was going on, Peter said, Lord, just depart from me. I'm just a wicked sinner. And then Jesus said, it's kind of parallel to what he did with Isaiah. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what he said. Or I think of John in the Revelation. He says, when I saw him, when I saw Jesus in all his glory, when I saw Jesus in all his holiness, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, fear not, for I am the first and the last. And I would hope that we could get to that place of fear not. That place where Jesus would, would lift you up. Sometimes we have to have the bad news before we can get to the good news. The good news, just like in the days of Isaiah, there's some forgiveness for us. How many of you praise the Lord for that forgiveness? Amen. Let me just share with you a few of my favorite. These are really my favorite verses. I told you I had quite a few favorite verses. And I think we all need these kind of verses in our back pocket, really in our heart. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let me ask you, have you confessed your sin before the Lord? Confess that, you're just agreeing with God that that is sin. Even as I went through those Ten Commandments, you just agree, yeah, I blew it. Yeah, I blew it there too. If I'm honest, I probably blew it in front of all of the Ten Commandments. But if I confess my sins, if I'm in agreement with God that I have sinned, He's faithful and just to forgive me. Let me see, I can read it on the back screen. Let me see if I'm reading this right. He's just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. Is that what it said? Doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? It says all. It says all unrighteousness. So in Christ Jesus, it's in Him. It's because of what Jesus did. It's because God became a man in Christ Jesus. He lived that perfect righteous life that we should have lived, that we didn't live. And then He suffered the death that we should have died. He died in my place. He died in your place. And He rose again on the third day. And He proves that He is the Son of God. And He offers salvation. That's forgiveness of sins to all those who believe and repent. When I confess my sins, I'm not going to continue on in that sin, but there's forgiveness. And so when those thoughts come, the devil comes to you in your thoughts, and he reminds you of the past. He might be right historically in what he's saying. You did do that. I did do that. Historically, that is a fact, but I'm not living by history. I'm living by the Bible. And so I'm flying by a different, it's like the law of gravity pulls everything down. But when you get in an airplane, there's that law of kind of lift and thrust. And I'm living by that law of lift and the law of faith in Christ Jesus. Even though historically, yeah, I did do all that stuff. Historically, I deserve the punishment, the wrath of God. But I praise Him that I live according to the Bible and the Bible truth. That I have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. So Robert's out doing what he's doing, and he blows it. He trips up. We won't get into details exactly what he did yesterday. The Lord knows. And then this morning he gets up and he says, Lord, would you just forgive me of that? And the Lord says, yep, it's done. And then Robert's talking with the Lord again, and Robert says, Lord, yesterday I just really blew it, and I just don't, I'm just so sorry. I should do better next time. And the Lord said, Robert, what are you talking about? Well, Lord, I did the, such and such. And the Lord said, Robert, what does my word say? I forgive you, I cleanse you. I don't remember that. And you don't need to be reminding me of it either. It's cleansed. How many of you like that? We got to live that way. We got to live that way. If you've really seen the holiness of God, and if you've really seen the glory of God, if you've really seen your sin for what it is before God, then just go ahead and move on to the next place of receiving forgiveness. Are you following with me? Some of you have been laboring under that condemnation. You've been listening to that lie of the devil that you're just no good, good for nothing, and all the things that you've done in your past disqualify you from anything good in the future. You just need to stand on the Word of God. That's why I stand on these passages. I memorize them. I speak them out. Si confesamos nuestros pecados, Él es fiel y justo para perdonarnos y limpiarnos de toda injusticia. I need to say it in Spanish, English. If I can learn Portuguese, if I can learn Burmese, I learn it in Burmese as well. I need to renew my own mind in those kind of things. And even this cycle of holiness, glory, sinfulness, forgiveness, usefulness, I don't think it's just a straight line. But I think as we see His glory, as we see His holiness, and then as we see our own sinfulness, as we receive forgiveness, we'll get into the usefulness. And then as we're being used, then we go back again and we see His glory once again and we cry out, Lord, forgive me. And then He forgives us again. I think it's a lifelong process of sanctification that we're being transformed more and more into His image. Are you following with me? It's not just a one-time experience. Another one of my favorite ones, for our sake, He made Him who knew no to be sin, who knew no sin. That's Jesus. God made Jesus to be sin. He knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Again, it's in Him. It's in Jesus. It's not in my own righteousness. It's not because you come to church on, you know, thank you for coming. It's great to have you. Lord willing, we'll continue in Isaiah next week as well. Great things going to be happening here. And we come unto Him. We come close to Him. It's in Him we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I can stand before you and stand before God, not because of what I've done, but I can say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can say that I have been forgiven of all my past sin. He's working on me, but He's forgiven me. Are you with me? Okay, let's go on to the next one. I love Psalm 103 as well. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Notice that it doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. That'd be from the North Pole to the South Pole. That'd be about 12, 13,000 miles. But it says east to the west. So He just throws it out into that 100 billion galaxy, whatever, you know, of that, forgetting, that's what we're talking about. Or what about Ephesians 1:7? In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. In Him, redemption, that's a buying back. He has bought you back according to the riches of His grace. It's not according to the greatness of your good works. It's not according to your bank account, whether it's big or whether it's little. So there's no pride. There's no. A lot of times we end up either sticking out our chest because look at me, look what I did, and I did go to church. I did treat my wife well this week. I did cook his favorite meal this week. I did do what he, you know, I did do, you know, or we, you know, I really blew it on the fast. I made it, you know, the first day, Monday at 3 o'clock, I was already eating. And then you get all this condemnation, and then you just, you know, and then the devil beats you up over the head again. And says, you know, you blew it. You might as well not even go back to church. You know, the devil will use just a little bit of the truth. Historically, he's right. And then he'll take you to the wrong conclusion. Because you did that, there's no hope for you. Because you did that, everybody's going to know about it. You might as well not even go back to church. Because you did that, God's forgotten about you. Any call that he had, just forget about it. So I did that. I think that the Lord wants to bring us into that place of forgiveness. And then when you get into the place of forgiveness, if you've really received the forgiveness of the Lord, I think that the response that we have would be similar to the response that Isaiah had. It's a response of usefulness. It's a response of, Lord, here I am. Here I am, send me. Here I am, you can use me now. And when we talk about usefulness, let me just say this. A lot of times we think, well, usefulness, well, I don't know if I'll ever get up on the pulpit and preach, you know. You get this idea that usefulness means that you have to have one of these, and you have to be like standing on one of these. Let me just tell you, there's. I praise God for those that He does call to come up onto this stage, but percentage-wise, it's going to be few people. That's just reality. Most of us are going to be useful, not with one of these, but we're going to be useful maybe in your workplace. You're going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ in your workplace. You're going to be useful. You know, on the 29th, we have a day, Friends and Family Day. Pastor Donnie mentioned, you know, call your VIP list. He said that. He said, what's a VIP list? Very important person. That's what he later, he explained it, if you caught it. What he explained was VIP is your very important list, very important people list. And what you want to do, you want to be praying for those people. And those people, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers that don't know Christ yet, that are not going to a church. There's a lot of good churches here in Nashville. We don't want to just fill up the church with people from other churches. We want to bring people in to know the Lord that don't know the Lord. But even now, we're what, a week and a half away? Just go ahead and just start to pray for those people now. You'll get some flyers. There's some flyers out in both foyers, I think. And so take whatever you need, but use what you take and just invite people. It's going to be a special day. That can be useful. Like Pastor James says, just bring them here to church. And the message will be preached, and you can be useful in that kind of a way. You can be useful, you know, in the children's ministry. You can be useful helping us even on Wednesday night, ushers and greeters. And you know, but do we need any more people in the music ministry and the praise and worship? Always. Children's ministry, always. You can be useful. And if you've really had an encounter with God, first with His holiness, with His glory, if you've really seen our sin for what it is before the Lord, and you can see the forgiveness, the greatness of the forgiveness, that natural reaction is, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. How can I help? And then we help not to win our salvation, but because we are saved. And we just say again, we just say, thank you. You know, whatever they would ask me to do, just thank, you know, yeah, that's fine, I can do that. You know, give a little bit extra to help finish up the, you know, finish strong, finish in the building. Yeah, we can do that. You know, when we move into the new place, you know, Lord willing, I think the Lord is willing. And a lot of times we just say, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I think the Lord is willing. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of Christ. Lord willing, we'd have that place full. Not just one service, but two, but three. But, you know, we can continue. And then as we go in there, just I don't know how many of you during the time of prayer and fasting, if you were here with us last week, we had special prayer meetings every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We had noon meetings. We had some of them, some people, I didn't come, 6 o'clock in the morning. But the glory of God, the holiness of God. And so we need those times. That's why I say it's like a lifelong cycle of seeing the glory of God, seeing the holiness of God. You know, those little things I said about the stars, you can see His glory in the stars, or in the little cell, you can see His glory. Sometimes we see His glory. I know when I first got saved at the University of Minnesota, October, freshman year, about a month after starting school, I got saved about 10 o'clock at night in my bed. And then the next day I remembered something that somebody had said, that when you know the Creator, the skies are bluer, the grass is greener. And it was true. I was seeing the glory of God once again. If we're open to it, I think we can see the glory of God. Instead of just complaining, instead of just seeing all the negative, open up your eyes a little bit. I think that's why God told Abraham to open up his eyes, to look at the stars, to see His glory. And then when we see His glory, we see the Holy Spirit comes along, even convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts you of that sin to bring you back. But He convicts you not to condemn you, not to push you away, but to draw you in closer. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, don't say that like that. It's the Holy Spirit, real specific. He'll convict you of sin and He'll draw you in. And then He'll bring you into a place of forgiveness, of greater cleansing. And then hopefully, like Isaiah, we can say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Send me. Amen. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. Let's just pray before the Lord. Just let Him speak to you. Let Him show you. Whatever place, even in that cycle, whatever place you find yourself in, hopefully you've, even in this little message, I hope that you've gone the whole cycle. I hope that you've seen the glory of God. I hope that you've seen the holiness of God. Lord, I pray that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, that we might be able to see the hope that you've called us to, that we might see even the surpassing greatness of your riches towards us who believe. Lord, even the greatness of your power, I pray. Even Holy Spirit, you know each and every one. You know what we did yesterday. We know, you know what we did today. Lord, I pray that you would bring conviction, but to bring forgiveness, I pray. God, let your hand be upon each and every one of us. And Father, even some of us, you've been nudging, you've been inspiring that we might be even more useful. And it's been the Holy Spirit that's been saying, you need to serve in church. It's been the Holy Spirit that's been saying, you need to help out in children's ministry, in the music ministry, ushers and greeters. It's been the Holy Spirit that's been saying, you need to go talk to your neighbor. Holy Spirit is saying to some of us, even to pick up some of those flyers and to invite somebody for January 29th to the Friends and Family Day. It's the Holy Spirit putting people in your heart, neighbors and friends, and He's saying, just take one of those flyers and just bring them to church. It's the Holy Spirit pushing you out. Lord, here we are. But I pray, let each and every one of us, God, that you would speak to us, that we could see more and more of your glory, that you'd show us, Lord, even ways in our own lives, sin that we might be, habitually continuing in God, that there would be a freedom as we see your holiness, that you would set us free in a greater way, I pray. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know God is here tonight? I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. Let's give him a hand clap. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. He's here. He's here. Let's just stand up for a second, just remind you of a few things. I've said it over and over, the 29th, and then also the marriage, No Greater Love Weekend, February 10th and 11th with Ron and Lynette Lewis. They will be here. That's going to be fantastic. If you've not signed up, sign up online. I'm not sure if the early registration is, there's a lower price if you register early. I'm not sure. Just get online and try to sign up for that, okay? And if at the end of this, so we're going to be dismissed in a second. You can hang out and fellowship all you want. If you have children, we do want you to go ahead and get your children. You know, I know the youth will be done at about 8:30. They had some baptisms tonight. But if you need prayer, I do want to invite you to come forward. I know we have some ministry team people here as well. If you'd come forward. But if you need prayer for any needs that you would have, if you need healing, if you need a life group, if you need just help to get plugged in, if you want us just to agree with you for prayer for your neighbor, for your friend, for your family member that needs to come on the 29th, we will pray for you. So with that, you know, ministry team, if you want to make your way down, if you need prayer as well, let me just have a final prayer. Lord, I thank you so much once again. Thank you for this precious church. God, I thank you for where we are. Lord, I pray that you would bless us and make your face to shine upon us in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We'll see you on Sunday, and I do hope to see you on Wednesday. I think Wednesday is going to be a great time next week. Bring another friend on Wednesday, and the Lord will be here as well.